When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And we are live. Welcome to the NBA Strategy Show. It is Monday, April 22nd. I am Josh Engelman, here to break down a three-game NBA slate today. We've got Orlando and Cleveland tipping off at 7, Philly and New York tipping off at 7:30, Lakers, Nuggets tonight, late night hammer, 10 o'clock. Game has a total 16 points ahead of the next closest game. I hope everybody had a great weekend. Mine was nice, relaxing, lightweight weekend. No big dubs or anything like that in the DFS streets, although I'm very happy with the way that my exposures looked. Just wasn't able to piece it together. Got the Jalen Williams over Bobby Portis piece right. Just didn't seem to matter. But what are you going to do? We're going to break it all down, work our way through all three games. I think we have a little bit more to talk about after seeing game one. We could talk about potential changes that some of these losing teams might make. It's an interesting slate. I'm still waiting for us to get ownership up. Our projections dropped just before I got started. So ownership will take about a minute or two. And then I'll run my sim and we can take a look at what my exposures and everything look like. But yeah, it was a fun weekend. Good basketball. We only got one good game yesterday, unfortunately. We got an incredible first half out of Dame and then just a complete ghost tour in the second half. Can we talk about the fact that he didn't score in the second half yesterday? 35 points in the first half, complete ghost second half. He should have been a no doubt about it, gotta have him guy at halftime, and that didn't become the case at all, which is a real shame. Could have used that a little bit more. Yeah, I mean, Joval was once again himself, can't stop anybody defensively, only gets points based on getting multiple offensive rebounds off his own miss. He's not going to be long for this series, guys. Be ready for it. Yeah, Zubats with the massive game. Shout out to Eric for that one on Sunday. That was his exotic play of the day, I believe. Maybe it was the nuke, I don't remember, but either way. Eric was pretty heavy on Zoo. That went out. That went quite well for him. So I was happy to see that. Yeah, I felt like I got Dame extra special right, and then he didn't do a damn thing in the second half, and it made it a lot less interesting because that dude couldn't miss in the first half. Wild to me that he couldn't score at all in the second half. Didn't matter as much, obviously. The game was well at hand. They were beating the living shit out of the Pacers. All right, I'm going to check and see if we have any ownership up yet. Faster we get that, the faster I can get myself started. Nothing yet. So we could start talking about Orlando and Cleveland. We could run the sims and have a little bit of a conversation. So let's go here. We're starting it off with the Orlando Magic. They're 5.5-point dogs in Cleveland, and we have a 203 total. This is the number 20 team in pace. Cleveland is 28th. These are both basically top five defenses. Cleveland is sixth, but when they're at full strength, I think they're probably a top five. So lots to talk about here. I'm going to bounce on over to Popcorn Machine, and we can take a look at that first game because things dramatically changed for the final game of the regular season and then that first game of the playoffs for the Magic. They're not starting Wendell Carter Jr. They're going Suggs, Harris, Wagner, Isaac, Banchero. And that's a very different look and really changes the minutes outlook for what you're going to get out of the Magic. I do want to bounce back to this from Einsteinium. He said, Josh, I think you were right about the Bucks in the playoffs. If and when Giannis returns, they will regularly have the top two or three guys in any series. Yeah, that's the part that gets missed. When you can start consolidating these rotations and playing these dudes 40 minutes, the top end talent, it's the reason everybody tries to get these dudes and does whatever they can, because when you start consolidating minutes, it's the only place that you can make a lot of headway. Like having the 11th, like having the best 10th man in the league is meaningless once you get to this point. So, yeah, I mean, I'm a huge fan of the Bucks when they're able to be at full strength, because when they have Dame and Middleton and Giannis and Brooke Lopez on the floor, they are lethal. They dominate teams, and figuring out what the rest of that rotation looks like will be huge. But looking at Orlando, at least at the very least, we can look at this rotation. So they didn't do anything weird other than they basically went to like close to full bench lineups. Like in the beginning of the second quarter, they had a full five-man bench. My guess is that they start to thin that and have a little bit more overlap with some of the starters, a little bit more like the second half switch over. So I assume the starting lineup stays the same. And if that's the case, the guy that you want the most out of Orlando, at least on paper, is going to be Jonathan Isaac. He's 4,500. He's power forward center eligible. We're talking about a guy that's going to be in and around a fantasy point per minute. But the fact that you can put him in at forward is huge. And he's going to play, I don't know, 26, 27, 28, somewhere around there minutes. And I think that ends up creating the best value you can get from Orlando. But I'm also, as I've been, very interested in a $6,500 Franz Wagner, particularly at the small forward spot, which is going to be the hardest to fill on these playoff slates. Let me charge my watch. I didn't realize I didn't put that on the charger yet. And then the other option, because I have three guys, well, technically I have four guys in the top 10 for Orlando. I've got Gary Harris as my number seven dude. I know nobody's going to want to do that, but he's 3,400. He's starting. He should be playing north of 30 minutes, even as a horrible per minute dude. He's at 0.62 in my model, 0.45 over the last 30 days. I got him at 0.56 in this matchup. But that price, that position, that playing time means Gary Harris is a value option that you need to look at. And then finally, I have Jalen Suggs, 10th. Point guard only, 5K. You know, 0.85 fantasy points per minute. Big minutes. Gonna get a steady dose of Garland and Mitchell whenever, like, you know, you're putting Jalen Suggs out there to lock people down. I think all four of those guys are going to be pretty big priorities for me. And you can see it here. I've got Isaac third, Franz fifth, Harris seventh, Suggs 10th. I'm not all that interested in Paolo Banchero right now. I don't think that his current price relative to the rest of this salary or rest of this slate is as interesting, but 8,100 is not bad. The minutes are there. He's just not that kind of per minute dude. And I really hate this matchup for him. Let's see if we have any ownership yet. Because once we can get an idea of where other people are going, we'll find... Okay, perfect. 3 minutes ago, we got it. Jonathan Isaac is the highest owned guy on DraftKings right now. FanDuel has Isaiah Hartenstein, which is going to be a very interesting conversation piece, given the minutes that Mitchell Robinson played off the bench last time out. Would not be surprised at all if that looks similar again today, and we'll talk that through. All right, so now that I have ownership, we can talk about what I'm seeing. 69% ownership is coming into John Isaac. So I have him third. I completely agree with that ownership, even though that is a high number. Is it negative leverage? Yeah, but he's also 50% optimal. We have Franz Wagner, 30% owned. Gary Harris, 30% owned. Jalen Suggs, 45% owned. Paolo, 27%. Mo Wagner, 13%. Is this the highest owned team? It is. The Orlando Magic are the highest owned team on today's slate. The Magic themselves almost have more ownership than all of Philly and New York combined. So that's a lot of ownership coming in here to Orlando. Now I can run my sims and figure out where I stand for this slate. So let's build out our 5,000 lineup pool and let's get it running. So yeah, six separate dudes north of 10%, five guys 27% or higher for Orlando. very, very curious for me. But I agree with Isaac. I agree with Franz. I agree with Gary Harris. I agree with Suggs. All those guys look great. And if we're looking at optimal rates, while they're all mostly negative leverage, 19% optimal for Banchero, 22 for Franz, 40 for Suggs, 50 Isaac, 20 Mo Wagner, 20 Gary Harris. There's just a lot to like here for Orlando. All right, so first draft of my player pool is done. I'm going to export this summary information first. Perfect. And now I could upload my projections. Because we want to get an idea of what the best possible fades could be, the best possible stands could be. Ron, why do I think what is? Orlando being this popular? Is that what you mean? All right, let's get my projections loaded. Boom. Ownership. Yeah, ownership is always price. Ownership is always price. Like, David Porter's definitely not going to understand how any of that works. That makes sense to me. But yeah, it's always a price thing. The Magic are priced down, so they look good, which is a great spot to be on in a playoff series, because you usually have this zigzag effect where, like, game two off of a loss for Orlando is usually going to be a better opportunity than game one was. So I like the idea of getting to Orlando in this spot, especially because I liked Orlando in this series. Einsteinium, no one knows. I don't think they go like north of 30 all that much. I assume they're just going to be very scared by it, but it's hard to say. Like, he's been so broken for so many years. It's really hard to like be confident that you think the Magic are going to like let him rip more. As long as he can be out there, it's going to be like 28 minutes for sure. Cuz he's, you know, one of the best defenders in basketball. All right, well, we're going to be ending up with someone pretty crazy because these pre-lock ROIs are quite high. But let me save the lineups. And now we can get an idea of where I stand. All right, sim done. Lineups processed. Now let me refresh my workbook. We're going to be great. We're going to be able to talk about all the ridiculous nonsense I'm getting to that isn't in the ownership right now. Can't wait to see it. Going to be disgusting. I can say this much. Just looking at the chalkiest guys, I think now I'm getting to Jalen Suggs. But whether it's Jalen Suggs, Franz Wagner, Gary Harris, I do think that those three guys are the easiest sort of, like, I'm going to be over the field on all of them, but they are a little bit of a duplicate to the things that exist on this slate. Yeah, that's great math. 0% chance that the Magic win this series. You should be betting your life savings, which is probably like $5, on every single anything that you can get from the Cavs. To say stuff like that is just so silly. Why anybody would ever want to look at sports like that is nuts. All right, I've got my sim done. I've got my lineups done. Let's see what I'm actually getting from this game. So we talked about John Isaac, 69% owned. Evidently, I'm coming in lighter on that number. Just believing 69 might be a little too high, but bumch. So I only got 26. That could change as the day moves on, as I make tweaks to minutes and rotations across the board. John Isaac is the first guy you're putting into cash lineups for sure. But it does appear that I'm finding different ways to spend that money around that salary tier. very different for Franz Wagner, who I'm getting to in a big way. 68% of my lineups have Franz at 29% ownership. I think that's a positional thing. But at the same time, because of small forward, that's going to be a short list of potential options. So paying attention to Franz Wagner will be a little weird. Gary Harris is my preferred value option. I have him more than I have anybody else from Orlando. And then I'm right around the field on Jalen Suggs at 50%. Way under on Paolo. Not surprised to see that. I don't expect to get there. Similar story for Mo Wagner. Not a guy that I'm really looking at. He's 13% owned. I didn't get to any right out of the gate. So my main priorities for Orlando are fourfold. Wagner, Harris, Suggs, Isaac for sure. I'm going to shave some of that Isaac ownership and give it to Franz Wagner. But otherwise, huge exposure to the Orlando Magic. I can say right out of the gate, I have more of the Magic than the field. I have 232%. The field's at 217. And I have more of the Orlando Magic than any other team. Don't try to get cute. Don't try to overthink this. There are only six teams you can get to. The Orlando Magic is the best team that you could roster today on DraftKings. But I'm anticipating a lot of Gary Harris, Franz Wagner, Jalen Suggs. And I am not mad about that at all. Now, the Cleveland side. A little different. Not nearly as much love coming into Cleveland. 15% ownership to Darius Garland. Call it 15 for Evan Mobley. Call it 15 for Jared Allen. Around 10 for Donovan Mitchell. Guy I'm getting to the most, Evan Mobley. And I'm getting to Evan Mobley in a big way. He's 6,800. He's power forward center eligible. We're talking about a guy that's around 1.15 fantasy points per minute. I went 36 minutes for Mobley. That seems pretty reasonable in the playoffs. Seems to me he's going underrepresented. I have Evan Mobley as the second best option on today's slate. Now, we have Mobley 26% optimal, 18% owned. Positive leverage on Mitchell, Garland, Allen, Mobley, Strus. Four of these guys all 20% optimal or slightly higher, but Mobley looking underrepresented in ownership. One of my favorite plays today, one of my top GPP plays. And if it holds this way by the time we get to Live Before Lock, he'll probably be my nuke of the night. I'm over the field on Garland. I'm 2Xing Jared Allen. Neutral to Donovan Mitchell. Not getting to much else here. Not getting to anything else here. I only have four dudes, but Garland, Mitchell, Mobley, Allen. Love that core. Love getting to more of Cleveland with lower ownership. So if I'm going to be getting to so much of Orlando, I love that I'm personally bringing Cleveland along for the ride, especially with guys that I feel are a little bit underrepresented. But I want you guys to write down Evan Mobley as the GPP play. This Cleveland, this is the best game on today's slate. I have 350% of Orlando in Cleveland. That's 100%, 125% more than Philly, New York, and the Lakers in Denver. 35% is 350% ownership. That's 44% of everything we have here. I love this Orlando-Cleveland game. I'm going to have way more of this one than the field. It's the best game on the slate. Get yourself Evan Mobley, though. Garland looks fine at 6,700. Mitchell looks fine at 8,500. I think this is a pretty bad spot for Donovan Mitchell, so I'm okay with being lighter there. And then Jared Allen is very reasonable at 7,200. He's interesting because they're not going with a traditional center. I don't know how much I care for Allen, but it is curious. All right, game one in the books. Love this first game. If no one else does, can't help you there. Shout out to the 300 people that are here. Hit that like button. Hit that like button. It would be helpful. Schedule for the rest of the day. MLB strategy show coming up next at 11 a.m. MLB live before lock at 5 p.m. I'll be back with Eric at 6 o'clock tonight for NBA live before lock. And then you get Greg and I on playback at 7. We'll be watching the first half of Orlando and Cleveland. We'll watch a bit of Philly and New York before we duck out at 8 o'clock. We've got VIP passes for everybody. Well, not everybody, for 40 people, so they can watch along with us. It's going to be a good time, guys. It's going to be a good time. All right, let's keep it moving. We'll go to Philly now. 76ers are 5-point underdogs in New York, 207 total. I'm not sure there's a lot that Philly can do rotationally. They kind of played everybody they could. You know, Nick Batum was awesome, but also minus 20 in the game, which is, you know, pretty wild to see. Well, no, he wasn't awesome, but like Nick Batum is that like conductor dude for Philly. But if he's going to be minus 20, they're in trouble because he doesn't bring a lot to the table. It's just all of the like non-box score stats. Obviously had the massive game in the play-in. But Embiid, you know, I went 37 minutes. We have him 9% owned. The highest owned guy that we have for Philly is $4,400 Kyle Lowry at 31%. I'm not as big of a believer there. I think Kyle Lowry could potentially start to lose a little bit of playing time. We'll see what that looks like. I don't know if they're going to want him out there as the series moves on, if it's not going well. So I'm not getting to a ton of Philly, and I'm mostly just hanging out around the field. I have 22% of Lowry. He is the highest owned guy. He is the most optimal guy. I'm happy having 22%. But a little bit under the field on an 18% owned Oubre, a little under the field on an 18% owned Maxi, right around the field on 10% owned Harris, right around the field on 10% owned Joel Embiid. Like, nobody from Philly jumps out. The best play is Lowry. I have him ranked 17th. This is the number 29 team in pace in Philadelphia, the number 30 team in pace in New York. The Knicks defense is at full strength. Ananobi's here. Mitchell Robinson is back. So this is a very difficult defensive matchup. Philly with Embiid is a much better defensive team. This game's a slog. And the pricing isn't as advantageous as it is in Orlando and Cleveland. So I see Philly as filler for today, whether that's Embiid, Oubre, Lowry, Harris, or Maxi. And I don't really see many places you could try to squeeze it out. Like, Buddy Hield is the guy that I think they could kill Kyle Lowry for. I just don't know how you can really care about it. Buddy Hield played 11 minutes in game one and was minus 16. He might just get picked on too much defensively. The problem is they don't have any other options. That's where it starts to get dicey. Yeah, fire David Porter. Yeah, fire up Pat Bev, the guy that's on a completely different team and a completely different slate. Nailed it, as usual. Another genius comment from the non-genius. I wish I liked Philly more because I really do think that they rebound in this game too. But just like on paper, I don't see it. This matchup, this like the on-paper stats of the teams make it really difficult to get to this. The two slowest teams. Two easily top 10 defenses and pricing that doesn't really help us out here. Like, does anybody want Kyle Lowry to be the most important dude on Philly today from an ownership perspective? You can't want that. Did it go okay? Yeah, look, he played 39 minutes in that first game and he scored 18. I don't know how long we could rely comfortably on Kyle Lowry doing that. But as I see this one, you're looking at Embiid, Oubre, Lowry, Harris, Maxey. I don't think you're prioritizing any of these guys in comparison to what we've already seen from guys like Orlando. Now for the Knicks, very different scenario here. We know they're going to consolidate their rotation. Precious Achiuwa, not involved any longer. We have to talk through Isaiah Hartenstein. So Hartenstein picked up one foul in his first rotation, played 8 minutes, came back in for the tail end of the second quarter, was fine. Picked up two fouls in his third quarter rotation, never saw the floor again. Hartenstein was negative 13. Mitchell Robinson played 30 minutes off the bench. He played the final 16 minutes of the game and was plus 20. I assume at some point they're going to move Mitchell Robinson back into the starting lineup. If that happens today, then we can make our choices very easily. For now, I went 22 minutes Hartenstein, 26 minutes Mitchell Robinson. On the site, we went 24-24. Don't have a great feel for it. I think you can go either way. I think there's going to be situations where Hartenstein just plays a little bit more. Like when it's working, and they can go to either one of those guys and be happy. As I look at it, we have 20% ownership coming into a $5,200 Hartenstein. We have 17% ownership coming into a $4,200 Mitchell Robinson. I'm barely getting to Isaiah Hartenstein. I'm close to 2xing the field on Mitchell Robinson. I'm going to take my chances on the Mitchell Robinson bench rotations. Even more specifically, because if he's coming off the bench, based on the way that Joel Embiid takes his rotations, I think we're likely to get a bigger chunk of Mitchell Robinson against, like, we're going to see Mitchell Robinson get a lot of those minutes against Paul Reed. And I think that's just going to be better for him, especially at 4,200. So personally, I'm choosing Mitchell Robinson over Isaiah Hartenstein. If you want to go a different direction, I think it's reasonable. But I don't want to stop there for the Knicks. I want Anunoby. He's 5,100. He's small forward, power forward. Obviously a key defensive piece. Is he good per minute? No. 0.7 over the past month, 0.8 for me in this spot. I'm 2xing the field on OG Anunoby. I think he's a top 10 option on the slate. We have him 30% optimal, 23% owned. That's some nice positive leverage. The guy that I'm getting to second most is Jalen Brunson. Love it here. 4,300, going to play north of 40 minutes, 20% owned, 44% of my lineup. So I'm 2xing Jalen Brunson. Now we have him basically properly owned. So not a huge take there, but it is a huge take for me. But I got to talk about the guy that I'm fading, and that's Josh Hart. So I gave him 41 minutes. Could he play 48 today? Absolutely. Wouldn't be surprised at all. Played the entire second half last time out. Played 42 minutes. He played the first like 18 minutes of the game too. I'm not getting there. I already took his under PRA on my Prize Picks video today. But 6,900 is massive. 0.95 fantasy points per minute over the past month. I got him at 0.9. I don't think that I'm discounting him too much. I have him projected for a double-double. 11.5 points, 10 boards, 5 assists. I don't think it's helpful for him if Mitchell Robinson and Hartenstein are just going to get all 48 minutes. Even more importantly, like, it's just going to make them a little bit better of a rebounding team. You need Josh Hart a little bit less. But at the same time, you're looking for 40-plus fantasy points out of Hart. He's going to have the minutes to do so. But in game two with Philly looking to rebound, I feel like Hart's the easiest guy to, like, let you down. Because he's not an offensive guy. He's a 15% usage type dude. He just does a little bit of everything. So if he doesn't break away offensively, I think we're in good shape. He's probably my biggest fade. Let me see if that's actually true. He's my third biggest fade right now. But in all actuality, he's kind of first because my two bigger fades, I'm actually getting around 25% of. So I actually have a little bit of Bojan Bogdanović too, who saw his minutes jump up, played 25 in game one. I only went 21. He's 3,700, small forward, power forward eligible. He's 14% owned. I got 20%. He's a 0.85 guy. I think there's going to be some playing time there for Bojan Bogdanović, potentially a couple extra minutes if they need it. At that price point, I'm happy to get to Bojan. I didn't think they were going to unlock him like this. He's a guy that I have a very close eye on. So I have 30-plus percent ownership to Mitchell Robinson, Jalen Brunson, OG Anunoby, and another 20 to Bojan. But I'm very light on Hartenstein, and Josh Hart is one of my bigger fades. That's what we've got going for the New York Knicks. If you are more interested in what we have for NBA DFS, the promo code is PLAYOFFS. 50% off your first week of the NBA Sims Max Weekly Package. It gives you everything we have. Unlimited Sims, projections, ownership, boom, bust, contest generator, premium Discord, and more. All of that is on the table for you guys. Now, today is the final day for this offer. If you don't take advantage of this, you're paying more down the line. Lock in a week at 50%. Come see what we have. We have great slates for NBA for the next week in this first round, along with showdowns. You don't want to miss any of this stuff. This deal ends today. There's a link in the description. Click it. Sign up. Use the code playoffs. Get 50% off. Miles McBride's 5% owned. I got 2% of him. He's 4,300. We have him 7% optimal, 5% owned. Not a guy that I'm paying that close of attention to. He played 28 minutes. He played basically every second once Dante DiVincenzo left the floor in the third quarter. DiVincenzo was minus 23. I don't think that we can assume that DiVincenzo plays 24 and a half minutes every night. And if DiVincenzo plays more, unequivocally, Miles McBride is just playing less. So I don't think that we can become complete believers in Miles McBride's minutes yet. Yeah, Skywalker, contenders are done. Going with Bojan Bogdanović for the playoff experience. Never ceased to amaze me. David Porter, did David Porter and Sean Dre like come together and think, yeah, we should both have terrible accounts and send terrible messages in chat? He'll never know who's who. It might even be the same person. So that's what we've got for the Knicks. One game left to go. Lakers and Nuggets. 7.5-point dogs for the Lakers, 223 total. Now, as we look at game one, there's not much that you could really say here from the Lakers. They have their starting five. Dinwiddie played 13 minutes. Gabe Vincent played 8. Jackson Hayes played 4. They're not going to unlock him any longer. That went exactly like I expected. And then Torian Prince actually got to 20. They don't have options to move these dudes around. So you can feel pretty confident with minutes. 38% ownership coming into AD, 25 to 30 on Russell and LeBron, 15 for Reeves and Rui. No one else is getting any ownership. It's starting five or bust for the Lakers. I don't think that you can go to any of these guys, any that aren't in that starting lineup. You want to get really weird and think that Torian Prince is going to outplay Rui? Maybe. Wouldn't want to do it. I like LeBron more than I like Anthony Davis. Similar prices. LeBron, much better positionality because one of Anthony Davis's positions is center. They're going to be similar per minute dudes. LeBron obviously approaches these games a little bit differently. I think being down 1-0 and trying to get a win in Denver is going to be important. So they don't play again until Thursday. And I think that's very important. That's an extra day rest between game two and game three. That leads me to believe that you could even see more of LeBron / AD in a game like today. Because that extra day's rest is huge. So while I have LeBron in for 40, I think 42, 43 is on the table down one with that extra day's rest. So think about that for a second. That extra day matters. But I'm right around the field on LeBron. I'm right around the field on Russell. On Reeves, a little bit over on Rui. I took Rui's over in my prize picks video. The only guy that I'm aggressively not with the field on is Anthony Davis. I'm just lighter. And I'm guessing that's because I'm getting to a lot of Jokic. I don't know that yet. We'll see it shortly. If we look at the boom bust tool, pretty sizable negative leverage on AD, 25 optimal, 38 owned. Whereas Reeves has positive leverage. LeBron's a little bit lighter. But I think that the main takeaway is the starting five. 20% optimal, 25, 25, 25, 18. That's a really consolidated range where basically everybody's around 20% optimal, and you're seeing that coming out of the ownership. So I don't see much here that's weird. You play the starting five, whichever ones you like. I personally think LeBron's the best option. You might think it's somebody else, and that's okay. You cannot go to Vincent, Hayes, Dinwiddie. Maybe you can go to Torian Prince if you think that something is wrong with Rui, because Rui was bad in game one. Rui played 31 minutes. He was negative 10 in those minutes. They went to a lot more of Torian Prince in the fourth quarter. I mean, Prince played a 9 minute and 22 second stint in the fourth. I assume they want more Rui, and I'm getting to more Rui, but that's really the only swing piece. They just don't have bodies. This is a bad Lakers team. They don't have any depth whatsoever. And then finally, we're going to look at the Denver Nuggets. And don't forget to hit that like button to the 370 of you here. That would be nice. For the Nugs, decent chunk of ownership. I am getting to a little bit of Jokic, but 56% ownership coming into Jamal Murray. I have him as the number one play. I'm also a little bit lighter on that ownership right now. We have Murray 47% optimal, 55% owned. So a little bit of negative leverage. He's the best play on Denver. Josh ain't even been grinding NBA this much. You didn't hear me say that on playback. I've been playing NBA constantly since October. You are the least bright person that shows up here, man. It's insane. It's truly insane. I don't know how you acquire zero knowledge on a day-to-day basis. I don't know if you just stick cotton in your ears or what's happening. Do I need to like type it more? Should I submit this stuff in writing? I don't know which way we should go. Either way, Murray's the best play on Denver. I am finding it easy to be a little bit lighter. Then we see 37% ownership to Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. I'm lighter there and I'm fine with it. If I can get, this is going to sound stupid, but if I could just get to a little bit more of Gary Harris, these guys are basically the same dude. Only you don't have to spend $4,600 like you do for KCP. Uh, 30% ownership to MPJ. Luckily, he's not his brother or his brother. He's still playing and not in jail. I got 30% of MPJ. I like it. I'm dead neutral to Aaron Gordon. And then I'm 2Xing Jokic. I certainly like Jokic more than I like Embiid. 11-5 for Nikola Jokic. 14% owned. I have 28%. We have Jokic 19% optimal, 14% owned. So I want to get to Denver. I have 124% of Denver. That's my third most exposed team behind Orlando and the Knicks. But that's more than I have for Cleveland. But this is mostly another situation where I don't know how you get to the bench of Denver. Gordon, Murray, KCP, Porter, and Jokic all getting the love. Christian Brown is 6% owned. Peyton Watson is 3% owned. I don't know how you go to anything other than the starting five here. But the guy that I have the most of is Michael Porter Jr. 0.95 fantasy points per minute. Shots should be there. Who knows where his head's at, but it's not for us to decide. So I want to take a look at like my full table here and get an idea of like what I'm playing in each range. So let's boost this up. All right, so let's look at it from a salary perspective. Nikola Jokic is the most expensive guy at 11.5. I'm 2Xing him. And then I'm dead neutral to Embiid. I am getting very light on AD at 9,500. Neutral to LeBron at 9,400. But quite a bit over on Jalen Brunson at 9,300. So basically, I'm playing more of Jokic, giving up some of AD, and paying up more at guard for Brunson. More than okay with the way that looks right now. Then as we work our way down, this is where it starts to get busy. I'm getting away from that heavy 55% ownership to Jamal Murray. It's allowing me to like flip-flop Murray and Mobley, basically. You also have Josh Hart in here. This is where I'm either taking big stands or not taking big stands. Look at those four guys right there. Half the field on Murray, way less than half the field on Hart, but more than half the field on Mobley, double the field on Franz Wagner. So it's all about just taking stands in different places. I'm moving ownership around to different guys in similar ranges. It's all fine. You know, if we go down to the value guys, Gary Harris is the dude that's separating from the pack, but I think it's important to look at that range. So this is everybody 3,900 and below. I've got Gary Harris projected for 17.5 fantasy points. I have Bojan Bogdanović similarly at 17 and a half fantasy points. But look where everybody else is. 12 and a half, 12, 11, 11, 11, 10. Nobody else here in this range, other than Bogdanovich and Harris, are in the same sort of projection sphere. And I think that's important to note. These guys are just on a different level as pay down options. And that's why you're seeing them be two of the three guys that actually got any ownership here. Now, for me, I just prefer Gary Harris because there's more minutes. And I don't think Boyan can really play his way into more playing time unless something happens to, I don't know, probably Josh Hart in this scenario. Because when you take Ananobi off the floor, I don't think you replace him with Boyan because the defensive drop is not what they're looking for. But I like both of them. I'm over on Boyan and I'm over on Gary Harris. I prefer Gary Harris, but they are the only two guys you should feel good about paying down for. Because after that, you work your way up into that mid-fours range, whether that's Mitchell Robinson, Kyle Lowry, Isaac, KCP, Rui. So let's look at fades and stands. Biggest stand is Gary Harris right now. Franz Wagner and Evan Mobley, all three of those guys are 30% or more above the field. And then Brunson and Ananobi are both around 25% over the field. My biggest fades, John Isaac, although I am still getting a chunk of him. Jamal Murray, although I am still getting a chunk of him. And then two real fades in AD and Josh Hart. It's a fun slate. It's a really fun slate. It's pretty well balanced. We're not really waiting on anything crazy. So I think you could feel pretty comfortable with the path that we took through today's slate in comparison to what we're going to see in the future. I'm going to look quickly at my number one ROI lineup after we ran this sim. That's going to be Jalen Suggs, Gary Harris, Franz Wagner, John Isaac, Mobley, Brunson, Ananobi, LeBron. That's kind of interesting. So we go four Magic, then a Cleveland dude, two Knicks, and then late night hammer from LeBron James. I can handle that. Let's see. Is that my number one lineup after I apply some of my sorting mechanisms to it? It's not. The number one lineup for me after that is very similar, but my number one actual lineup is Suggs, Harris, Wagner, Mobley. So same start. Embiid, Murray, Rui, Ananobi. So that actually is the lineup that sorts to the top for me. Man, this is fun. Yeah, I don't care at all about Maxi not going through shoot around. But thanks, bro. But yeah, that's not going to concern me at all. You don't send sick people to shoot around. He'll play. He'll play. And if he doesn't, really doesn't matter. We're probably going to know that information before lock and we'll make those changes. But I'm not worried about it. Thunder did escape with their lives last night. They're going to dominate them for the rest of the series, though. That's going to get better for OKC and worse for the Pelicans, for sure. When they start sending more doubles to Joval, it's going to result in Joval getting ripped off the floor and them having to go to more Nance. But yeah, Joval's no matter what happened in that first game, Joval's days are numbered in that series. Chances Robinson starts. Low, but not out of the realm. I don't think they would make that change until they have to. I don't think you make that change coming off a win. They can. I don't think they do, though. But it's Tibbs. He doesn't give a shit about what people think. Even with Zion back at the Pelicans. I mean, Zion won't be back at the Pelicans. So that's that. Yeah, he was so dominant. Negative while he was on the floor. Only scores based on his own offensive rebound misses. But of course you think that he was dominant. You're bad at this. It makes sense. They can't play with Jonas Valanciunas out there. They can't. Their defense cannot hold up with Joval on the floor. It's a bucket every time. They will eventually take him out of the rotation the same way they did during the regular season. And they will go to Larry Nance. That is just going to happen. They took him out because he's not good. We have to stop thinking that he is. He changes their entire team for the negative. Just because he puts up stats from the DFS perspective does not a good player make. Anthony Edwards, you are not the best player in the league. David Porter, I don't care if the winning lineup had Joval. That's not the same thing. But again, I don't expect you to know that. You don't understand a single thing that gets said on these shows ever. Literally ever. Years at this point. I've never seen somebody acquire less knowledge. If you're Jonas Valanciunas and you are 1 for 5 at the rim, what are they keeping you out there for? You can't play any single defense whatsoever. You can't pass. You can't make a shot at the rim. Bring on Larry Nance, who will eventually be the guy getting the most minutes at center. Chris G, yes, the Prize Picks video is up. Everybody, Anthony Edwards, because you're on Minnesota. NBA fan. Then it was in the mid-range because he was 1 of 5 at the rim. 6 of 16 at the rim over the past 2 games for Joval in his big games. He's long gone, guys. I'm telling you. This is the playoffs. When it's not going well, you stop playing the guys that can't defend. Joval is the extra special guy that can't defend. Oh, he had a double-double. No way. What an amazing day for him. That's awesome that he had that double-double. Really good. Really good. They lost all the minutes that he played, by the way. I don't know if that matters. Apparently it doesn't, but they were not successful when he was on the floor. I explained it on NBA Live Before Lock. It's the same situation. If he doesn't do exactly what he does, if he can't make his putbacks and doesn't dominate the boards, the best you could hope for him is being neutral. Normally, when it's not going his way, he's going to end up being like negative 15 because every single time down the floor, he's a turnstile and they can't stop shit with him out there. That's the problem. They give up points like crazy when he's on the floor. If he's not going to be on the, they're dead. They don't have a chance. Because the day where like he doesn't get a couple extra rebounds and all of that plays out the same way, they're massive negatives because they get to the rim over and over and over again. He dominates the boards because he juices his own rebounding stats because he misses his putbacks. Guys, here's what we're going to do. You guys can watch these next couple games. You will watch Jonas Valanciunas' minutes disappear. And all of you will shut up and not say a word when this series is over. We can just pull up the audio from right now and everybody will understand that that man is not going to be playing dominant minutes for the next 3, 4, 5 games. You'll see it. It'll happen. And everybody will just zip it up. Not make a peep. All right, guys, we're going to get on out of here. This was fun. Don't forget, the promo code is playoffs. 50% off. First payment, NBA Sims Max Weekly Package. 50% off. Final day. Got to do it today. And by the way, on this whole Joval conversation, The big thing you got to remember, it changes nothing for his DFS outlook. Salary is everything. If Joe Val is 3K, I don't care how little they play him. If Joe Val is 6K, we're never playing him at all. DFS output, only reliant on salary in this situation. Doesn't matter what we're talking about otherwise. Really excited to see you guys try to talk about this when he's actually not on the floor. So put a pin in this one for later. MLB strategy show coming up next at 11 a.m. I'm going to talk to you guys later. Good luck, everybody, tonight. Well, everybody except for David Porter and Chandray. We'll talk to you later.